Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica at Syosset Library, Turn the Page. And again, we have with us...
I'm Dr. Shuttle Shaw. I'm president of the Long Island chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, New York Chapter 2.
Hi, I'm David Fagan, vice chairman of pediatrics at Cohen's Children's Medical Center, and I'm on the executive committee for Chapter 2.
Dr. Eve Krieff, and I'm a general pediatrician. I'm the legislative chair of New York Chapter 2.
And on the line, we have...
Hi, I'm Bill O'Hare, and I'm a demographer and working with census data for about 50 years. And one reason I'm here is I wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Undercount of Young Children in the U.S. Decennial Census. And there's some data in there that I think will be relevant to our conversation.
So thank you all very much for joining me. So the census comes every 10 years, and this is now our year. Shortly, I've been notified that I believe March 12th, a lot of the mailings will be going out for the census. This is the first year that it will be offered digitally. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what is the reason for the census and why is it so important?
Let me just mention that, as you said, the first mailings will start to go out March 12th, and most of the people in the country will get something in their mail that gives them a unique digit code for their house that they will then be asked to use to respond to the census online digitally. They can also call on the telephone. There'll be a telephone number if people want to respond that way. And if they don't respond the first month or so, eventually, like in what they call the fourth mailing, everybody who has not responded will get a paper questionnaire. So I just wanted to make sure people are a little more aware. Let me follow that up. If people who don't respond by the end of April in any of those ways, then the Census Bureau will start sending out enumerators to get the information from those households, and that operation will go through roughly the end of July. So that's a little, not quite in response to your question, but I wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for how this will unfold.
I think that that's very important because there is a lot of misinformation or misunderstanding about how it's going to unfold. Like, some people think you can only do it digitally, which is not true. So I think getting a clear picture of what we're looking at is important. And the importance of the census, there's many reasons as to why it is.
I'll say a couple things, I guess. And as you said, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's important. But the fundamental reason for having the census that the founding fathers put in the Constitution was to apportion the House of Representatives, to give people political power based on their population size, which was a pretty radical idea a couple hundred years ago, but I think has been a very good, worked very well for this country. But probably the reason that resonates most with people, and particularly for parents and young children, is that there is a lot of money tied to the census count that the federal government and the state government give out to localities and communities based on their census numbers. The most recent study of that came out a couple of months ago. It identified more than 300 federal programs that gave out $1.5 trillion in fiscal year 2017. That amounts to about $4,600 per person in our country. And so jurisdictions that don't get a complete count will lose thousands, probably tens of thousands of dollars over a decade. So that, I think, is probably the most important part of the why the census is important for most respondents.
It was estimated with the 2010 census that over 1 million young children were undercounted, which results in over $1 billion each year since that time in underfunding for the largest children's health programs.
And 54,000 of those children were right here in New York State.
Wow, 54,000.
Were undercounted in New York State.
Yeah, it's also important when we think of the census data is that it provides not just a picture of where the country is, but really is the foundational data upon which not just the government programs are spent, but also a large amount of data that's used for things like biomedical research, things like health insurance, things like programs that pay for quality child care. So when we think of how much money New York State gets for things like Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, things which provide children health insurance, programs that help children learn while their parents are working, so things like quality childcare, all of that is built upon the foundation of the census.
So there's a formula that the government uses called the federal medical assistance percentage with the FMAP. And that's based on the per capita income level for each state. So if you're undercounting, if there's undercounting in a state, and the people who tend to be undercounted are underrepresented minority groups who would then, if they're not counted, then the per capita income in a state is higher. And then that means the federal government has to contribute less money towards Medicaid and leaving the state more on the hook. But if there's an accurate count, which would then lower the per capita income, then the federal government through the MAP has to contribute more funding for programs like Medicaid.
I'm just going to add to this, maybe jumping ahead a little bit, but some of the message testing that's been done by the Count All Kids Initiative and National Initiative looking at the undercounting of young children has found that tying the message that when people are missed, particularly kids are missed, schools and healthcare clinics don't get their fair share, your community is harmed. And even that's more, as it seems to resonate more with people than saying individually you might not get what you need. Talking about the benefits to the community is a message that resonates.
Why do you think that is?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is it's true. And I think there's a pile of evidence that the other people just kind of went through here. We all went through, I guess. And it's growing. And I think people understand that they know that their localities gets money from state and federal agencies. They probably don't know the details of that, but it kind of resonates in a way that telling people that you're going to benefit from being counted, they look at with a bit of sarcasm, I guess skepticism, a better word. And so I think that message about the community benefits just seems to be easier for people to accept.
There was a study here in Long Island, the community Wyandanch. Young children were undercounted very drastically. The 2010 census showed that only 4% of the population were between the ages of 0 and 5. And what that resulted in was not having enough resources in the school district, and not enough funding for the school district, and overcrowding and less resources.
And while we talk about schools, we're not just talking about school funding. We're talking about new things as well. So, for example, where should we put a new library, since we're obviously in a library podcast? Where do we put a new playground? Where should a new school be built? All of those decisions are based in part on census data. So if we don't accurately count the children, we wind up inconveniencing people for the lifetime of that structure.
I also think it's important to remember that the census data lasts for 10 years. So if a child's missed in the census, that will be reflected for the next 10 years of funding and or research decisions. And that's most of the child's lifetime, or most of the child's childhood, not lifetime, I guess is a better way to say it. So even more important than a single year kind of being missed, just the fact that this lasts for 10 years, and that's most of a child's childhood.
It's undercounting is the mistake that lasts for 10 years.
Yep.
I think the children are the largest demographic of uncounted individuals in this country. And as pediatricians, that's a real concern to us because they really stand to benefit from the funding they would be missing from the government if they're not counted in the census. So it's really important to us as pediatricians to get the word out to all our patients and families that they really need to have their children counted. And a lot of research has been done since the last census as to why children are not counted. And there's many factors that play. And those are what we're trying to focus on in our interventions.
So let's talk about those factors. What causes the undercount? I mean, what did you say, 54,000?
54,000 in New York State children were not counted in New York State in the 2010 census. And the reason for that being a lot of people don't know that children count. They don't know, children that were just born in January. They don't know that they can list them on the April census. A lot of children live in families with grandparents, where the grandparents or aunts and uncles are the caretakers, and they don't know if they have the authority to list that child. They do. You know, anybody that's sort of the head of the household that's supervising that child where the child lives has that authority to just say, yeah, that child lives at my household. If there's parents that are separated, you know, the either parent isn't sure if they should be the one to do it or so that either both do it or none do it.
That's actually a really good point. Mm-hmm. I don't think I myself thought of that in that.
Yeah, we have to put numbers on this as well, right? So when we think about the undercounting of newborns specifically, right, that's potentially 4 million children that would not be counted. That's roughly how many babies are born in the United States each year. If we look at just New York State, that's 230 to 250,000 children who could potentially be missed, which has profound effects, like we said, for the next decade.
Well, because those children are going to be 10, as you said, you know, it's the majority of their childhood. Those children are going to be 10 by the time the next census rolls around. So that's their entire time in through nursery and elementary school that they were not represented.
Exactly.
Yeah, people also forget that in the United States, there are 1.3 million children in foster care. And a foster parent may, you know, have a question in their mind, do I count this person? But really the census is about, on April 1st, how many people are living in a particular address? The Census is, Bureau is not permitted to collect any type of identifying demographic, you know, data that could say it's David Fagan living in this house or it's Jessica living in this house. It's very simple what the Census Bureau is required to do. And that's the message that has to get out to people.
So those are, and that's like in the case of foster parents. So that's if they're like residing at your house, so they could call that there. You know, they're not. It's we're not talking your nephews are coming to visit and they just happen to be stopping by on April 1st. We're talking, you know, these you are in care of these children, and this is their house as of April 1st and beyond.
Exactly.
The Bureau would talk about no, if they have no other usual place of residence and they're at your house on April 1st, they should be counted there. And so, you know, basically anybody who's, any young child who's living at your house on April 1st, include on your form unless they have another place where they usually live.
And I think this just illustrates, just because Dr. Fagan brought up foster care, it just illustrates the vicious cycle of the census, right? So children in foster care are less likely to be counted, but the amount of money that's apportioned to foster care programs is based on the number of children in foster care, in part as determined by the census.
That creates
another vicious cycle. When we think about the you know, children in general, we always talk about children being 100% of the future, but 0% of the vote. So if there was a mass discrepancy in the amount of funding that went to, for example, senior citizens, because senior citizens were undercounted, senior citizens could, in theory, through political action and through voting, somewhat correct for that. But children obviously don't have that say. So their entire representation is really based on accurately filling out the census forms.
It's true. It's ironic because what happens is the children that really need this funding the most are the ones that are more likely to get undercounted. We see undercounting in poor communities and African-American communities, and that's something that we really need to change and address.
So we were talking about the reasons. So aside from the fact that people, you know, they don't realize that their children count, and they very much do, what are some other reasons as to why children are so underrepresented in the census?
One of the ideas, as the previous one talking about people's confusion, but concealment is another broad area that people talk about, and that children are purposely not reported, particularly young children, for a couple of reasons. One, of course, is that you're only supposed to have 5 people in your apartment or your house, but you have 6. You leave the young children off more often than other people because you're afraid. This is not true, but people are afraid that the data they report to the Census Bureau will be shared with the landlord or city government or something. So that kind of confusion or uncertainty about who it's access to census data, which is someone earlier said nobody except the Census Bureau. Another twist on that is if you have a young child in an age-restricted community, you're a grandparent with your custody of your young child for a while, you may not report them because they're not supposed to be in the age-restricted community. And the other big one that has emerged in 2020, of course, is this whole question about citizenship. And given the fear in many immigrant communities, I worry that that's going to lead to more concealment than we've had in the past.
There's a lot of misinformation about that specifically. The citizen question is not on the census, as far as I understand.
It was removed, or it was never placed. The government was trying to get it there, but it's not going to be on there. But it's definitely had a chilling effect where immigrants aren't aware that it's not on there, or afraid even that it's not, that the information will somehow be used. And it would be illegal for the Census Bureau to share that information with any other governmental agency, such as ICE. So, you know, we have to reassure our immigrant patients and communities that it's very important that they be counted and that that information will not be shared with any other governmental agency.
I believe the law is, it's Title 13.
Exactly.
Does anybody want to address the audience as to exactly what Title 13 says?
This is Bill. I don't know the exact language, but it basically says the Census Bureau can't share individual information they collect with any other anybody, any federal agency or any local agency or anybody. So that's the protection, the confidentiality, privacy protection that the Bureau has offered for a couple of decades, I guess, for Title 13. And I think having watched the Census Bureau for several decades, I think they've done a very good job of protecting the confidentiality that they promise respondents.
You know, one of the things that we deal with here in suburbia, getting back to one of Bill's points, is there is a large amount of illegal housing. So the census document goes to the owner of the home who has divided that home, which was built to be a three-bedroom single-family home, and now we have three immigrant families with multiple family members and children, you know, each with their own bedroom per family, but sharing common space. And the landlord and the slash owner knows that, but is not going to accurately count all those people for fear of retribution.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought of that, considered that myself, because you are, if you do, now, again, nobody's going to share this information if you happen to have illegal apartments in your house, which a lot of, as you pointed out, a lot of housing on Long Island does. We are, I think, by nature, we were designed to be suburban. There are areas with apartment and condo buildings, but the majority of the apartments here do seem to be what would be considered illegal. So it is up to the renter to fill out the census on behalf of the people who are renting. They might be reluctant to do that because they don't want to get caught renting illegally. But also another thing that I was thinking of as you were talking is they might not know how many children exactly are living there.
It's true. I mean, we've heard of some cases where there's four or five families living in two rooms, you know, in some of our towns. So there's a great concern that those children will be undercounted.
And unfortunate. So are there any other reasons we could think of that they would go undercounted, or should we jump to the next topic?
Well, there's one other reason I'll put forward. I don't quite know how to categorize it. I call it apathy, but I don't think that's quite the right word. But in general, young children have young parents, often in their 20s, and young parents respond to the census at a lower rate than almost any other age group, and they vote less, and a whole bunch of reasons where they're not as engaged in civic activity. And so I don't think we can do anything about changing the age of the parents, but the point is, and where there are clusters of young children with young parents, it's important to give them more focus and more effort, I guess, than you might some other age group.
So what are some national and local efforts being used to encourage census participation?
Well, there's a number of the civil rights groups, like Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund and the National Association of Latino Elected Officials, the National Urban League, the NAACP, and many, many more, have mounted efforts to try and reach out to their local affiliates and members. And I know, I guess appropriately in this call, the American Academy of Pediatricians have launched a really robust effort to get local, state and local chapters and local pediatricians to make people aware of the census and the importance of the census when they come into their office.
Yeah, we're going to be encouraging all our pediatricians to, at every checkup, just to emphasize to parents how important it is to let their parents know about the census and how important it is to fill out those forms for their children, and their children count, kids count. And we have coloring pages that we're going to have the kids color in our waiting rooms and hang them up in the offices. The Kids Count Initiative, and just a lot of education can happen, and we have a lot of time to do that. We're going to be starting now, you know, through the year, and hopefully we'll get the word out how important it is.
Several hospitals across Long Island and the greater New York area through the American Academy of Pediatrics will also be handing out census information in the packet of materials new mothers and fathers get, so they understand that now that they have a baby, in addition to everything else, they need to make sure that they report and count that child as well. It's also important because children who are currently hospitalized, aside from newborns, are also less represented or less likely to be represented. So we have to make sure that all the parents who are parents of hospitalized children or children with chronic illnesses who are in and out of the hospital also remember to report those kids.
So I know that there's some question about group housing, and in certain group housing situations, the somebody in charge of that facilitates, you know, and responds on behalf of who's living there. But if your child is in and out of the hospital, you're counting them as part of your house. Like, the hospital does not fall under that.
The hospital is not the usual place of residence.
Yes.
For most children. So,
okay.
The group, what's called group quarters population, very, very few young children in group quarters population. So it's a big issue for some age group, but not much of an issue for children, except people understand, as you just kind of pointed out, that even if your child's away for a couple of days in a hospital or a trip or something, they should be counted at their usual place of residence.
However, if they live in a college dorm, they will be counted by their college.
Yes.
So what can pediatricians do locally to encourage participation in the census? We have coloring sheets, we have new parent packets?
I think in addition to pediatricians just spreading the word and saying, oh, you know, the census is coming up, it's important that you fill out the documents or you go online and complete it. Just a basic understanding of what we've talked about today with regard to demographic data, personally identified data, that is not what the census is about. And, you know, sharing the economic impact with our families if they don't participate. You know, getting back to something that was said earlier in terms of representation, and this is how the 434 House of Representatives seats are divided up. If New York State has as little as a 0.6% undercounting, we lose two more seats in the House of Representatives. The state lost two seats after the 2010 census, and with another undercounting, we stand to lose two more seats.
That's a really thin margin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to the point someone made about the fact that young children are missed at a higher rate than any other age group by far, like double the next highest age group. And so if there is an undercount statewide, it's probably going to be heavily amongst young children.
Well, we're talking about efforts that pediatricians can do, but I think it's important to remember that as focused as we are on making sure that all children are counted in the census, the pediatrics office is not where children spend the bulk of their time. So we really need to make this more of a community-wide effort where all of the places that children spend their time, schools, libraries, any place that children spend their time, community centers, all really understand the importance of getting the message out to parents.
I agree. And I know that there are many school districts who are, obviously, you know, they're going to count on the responses here. So there are many school districts who are already jumping on board and getting information out. And the libraries have started gearing up for this, through different workshops that are going on, and we're all trying to do our part to get the word out, because, you know, we have so many different groups who come here. We have immigrants, we have, people who move here. This is their first stop often, and families. So we are all investigating the best ways to get the word out as to how important this is to our community, because in many ways we are evolving and becoming community centers.
This is Bill. Two other places that are important to reach out to, I think, food banks is an obvious one, where there's a lot of the marginalized or economically, socially, people who are more vulnerable to being missed would come. And diaper banks is that probably in a more appropriate one, where people, low-income families are given diapers at free or reduced cost.
In addition to everything else that's been mentioned, there's a strong effort amongst all houses of worship, regardless of denomination as well.
That's a very good point. What about, actually, this is a question that just kind of popped up. What about local nursery schools or daycares? Would they be a place to partner with to sort of let the community know?
Absolutely. I think New York State is reaching out to all child care facilities about the census, and we're going to do some outreach too as pediatricians locally.
I think that that's a something to think about, because there, I mean, you know, many of us are working parents, and there's so many daycares that the children go to.
Exactly. Every county, or in less populated areas, multiple counties, has a child care council. So here in Nassau County, we have the Child Care Council of Nassau, Child Care Council of Suffolk, and they are really the umbrella organization for licensed child care centers in each county. And it's through that organization that we will reach out to child care centers.
Yeah, these organizations have been working for years, but really intensely for the past year in organizing efforts just to get the word out to all facilities that care for children.
The Head Start is another organization that kind of fits in there, but wasn't mentioned explicitly, I don't think. And also Child Care Aware, which is a national umbrella organization of all the, a bunch of the preschool programs, is involved in the census and the Count All Kids initiative. So there's efforts there from above as well.
I have to say, like, I'm still so floored by the razor thin margin of error that could really cost representation. I don't think a lot of people, so many people, they're like, yeah, the census. So, you know, I don't think they realize just how much it impacts them.
I think most people don't know. I mean, I didn't know until I started doing more research into this, but I just thought it was just okay just to get a count. Nobody, I don't think anybody really understands that the true impact that it has on all our communities, including our children, but on so many areas. And, you know, funding and like we've said, research just it's very impactful, and obviously representation in Congress. So there's just a vast array of issues involved.
Let me just add one more minor. I don't think it occurs to people that much that if a community is undercounted and it looks like they've lost population from the last census, it's a place that most private enterprises won't want to make an investment. And so they can be hurt by an undercount in terms of the private sector investment along with the public sector money.
How does the private sector access that information? Because I know the count, it just goes to locals?
The census count is made available when they tabulate all the tabulations. They're public. They're available to anybody in the public. There are many companies that kind of take that census data and add some value to it from a private sector perspective, and resell it, or not resell isn't the right word, sell it to local businesses. And there's a number of businesses who are in business selling data about where to expand and what to expand and what kind of customers you'll find there. So if there's an undercount in the census, that data about where it might be a good place to invest in a new store will be misleading.
Do you all mind if I ask a little bit about just some misinformation that might be floating around that you might hear of?
Sure. But Bill, can you comment on the last appropriations bill? Did they appropriate, in your opinion, enough money to make sure that the census gets done adequately? Because I think that's also...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's important for people to hear that it's an issue, because if the census is underfunded, it shifts more responsibility to each individual to make sure that they get the forms filled out correctly.
that's a great point. And then the census has been underfunded this cycle repeatedly, and particularly in the last year or two, when they really needed money to do the kind of planning and commitments that they wanted to make. They've been underfunded, even though the Census Bureau can't say that because they're part of the government. Everybody that I know outside who is an independent observer of the census feels that way. And the point you made is a very good one, that if the Census Bureau is not going to have the resources to do as good a job in 2020 as they did in 2010, it puts the onus on states and localities to try and get a more accurate count. And many states have responded this cycle by putting millions and millions of dollars into state census promotion. Many localities, the same thing, much more than they've ever done in the past. It certainly will help, but I worry that even the combination of the Census Bureau's money and the state and local money will not be enough to overcome some of the other factors, like the citizenship issue we talked about earlier, or a general decline in response to government or a lack of trust in government. So there's a number of reasons for worrying about the 2020 census, and a number of reasons, particularly money and political participation, to try and get as accurate account as we can for each state and jurisdiction.
Yeah, Congress stated that the cost for the 2020 census needed to be less than the 2010 census, and we already know that with 2010, over 1 million children were undercounted. So these are dire circumstances, and to everyone's point, just raising the critical importance of marshaling community-based organizations and pediatricians and everybody we can think of to get the word out.
I want to thank everybody. Does anyone have anything else to add before we
remember kids count?
I'm sorry, I missed before what?
I was going to say before we sign off, does anybody have anything to add?
Well, it might be worth going. You asked a question that I don't think I didn't answer very well about what misinformation is out there. And I think this, particularly the citizenship issue, is a big one where people still worry that the Bureau is going to ask that question, even though they're not. It's not going to be in a census questionnaire, and they're worried about what will happen. And so the more we can do to assure people that the question's not on the questionnaire, and that even if it was, the Bureau can't share any of this data with anybody else, is a powerful message. And people need to hear it more than they have so far, I guess. One other piece of information that I think, misinformation I think, is out there, is some people think this is only an online census, that you can only do it on a computer. And I think the reality is there are many more avenues that people can respond by phone or by mail, and that needs to be made clearer.
And they need to hear it from people they trust, like their pediatricians and their librarians and their community leaders. So everybody who's listening, make sure that you are census literate and you get the word out. Well, thank you again to everybody. This is Jessica, and I'm here with
Dr. Shuttle Shaw,
Dr. Eve Krieff,
Dr. David Fagan.
And joining us on the other line is
Dr. Bill O'Hare.
And I'm going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.